Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 196. Apparently it's the I Hate You cast, according to Justin, because he hates
Animosity cast.
Animosity cast. So yes, joining us this week we have the lovely Dan.
That's me.
And the hateful Justin.
Gotta throw bricks through all your windows, I swear to God.
All because he's in a hurry to do his other podcast and we're
I'm not in a hurry.
He gets so defensive about it, too. Anyhow.
Let's play some Sonic music over this. Like, you're too slow.
If you play Sonic music,
I'm waiting.
No.
okay.
No.
This week, we're going to talk about movie news. But just before we kind of get into it, we decided to do this show on Tuesday night after the Suicide Squad news. And
did
I was
we?
Like, okay. That's when I pitched it, I think. Oh.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's like we didn't decide anything.
I pitched it. It was pretty much decided once that happened. I mean, it's just a courtesy at that point.
Okay, which is why no one showed up Tuesday, right?
I didn't say. I know. I didn't say Tuesday. I said I pitched it Tuesday. I said Thursday because I knew Terminator trailer was out today.
Yeah.
Yes, and the idea was to talk about recent movie news because we had a Jurassic World teaser, a Star Wars The Force Awakens teaser, and Terminator teaser today. And I was like, okay, we're finally going to do a movie podcast that isn't focused on comic books. It was just going to be Suicide Squad. And I'm like, I'll save that to the end because we can kind of fit that in. And then today happened. And it was like, oh, okay, we can talk about Jessica Jones being cast. Oh, we can talk about Deadpool being cast. Oh, we can talk about that. Oh, damn it to hell. We're talking about comic books.
Do we have to talk about Deadpool, though? Because was that ever really up for debate?
Yeah, the Deadpool one I found so weird. I swore that Ryan Reynolds was in.
Wasn't he the voice for the guy for Deadpool in the short film?
Yeah, he was Deadpool in X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, he's been attached to the things for like the past 5 years.
Yeah,
it's not like, let's be honest, it's not like Ryan Reynolds is hot property in Hollywood right now where his schedule might have been busy.
Touche.
But yes, that was officially confirmed, and I guess we're all on the same page as like, yay. I mean, I prefer him in the role if he actually talks and not, like,
obviously.
You know, whatever it was
the
in X-Men. Yeah. The Deadpool, as they called it.
The Deadpool.
But yes. And just to kind of get the rest of the casting news out, I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong, I don't think the Jessica Jones news is that, I don't think there's much discussion around it.
I have no idea. I have no idea who Kristen Ritter is. I'm sure I've seen her on somewhere before.
She's in Breaking Bad.
Oh, wait, is she Jesse's girlfriend?
Yeah.
The one that dies?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I remember. Spoiler. But, so I guess, I have seen her before.
Yeah, and she was also on Don't Charge the Bee in Apartment 23, which is actually a pretty funny show.
That's what I hear. But it also has James Van Der Beek.
Who's awesome in that show? Because he plays James Van Der Beek.
I'm not saying like the bad thing. I'm saying it's also got James Van Der Beek.
No, he was honestly probably the best part of that show.
That's what I hear. And then, did you hear who they announced for Luke Cage?
They didn't announce Luke Cage, but they kind of snuck it in there as well.
Well, it's Mike Coulter, who is some dude Things.
The dude from Things. Oh.
Well, okay, he's in Halo Nightfall shit that's out now, and that's it.
Mike Coulter?
Yeah, he's a black dude, just Google it.
Yes, you'd hope it would be a black dude.
I mean, Exodus is coming out next week, so...
I mean, the first thing that I find when I search Mike Coulter, and I might be spelling it wrong, is a white filmmaker, so...
It's C-O-L-T-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah, trust me,
this is why he's
a black dude.
He looks like Idris Elba, a little bit.
He looks more like Omar Epps with a more rounded head.
Yeah, I can see that.
Are we really having this conversation right now?
Just this one picture that I saw of him makes him look like Idris Elba. That's it.
Because all people look the same, don't they?
It's
yes,
true.
That's what I was saying. Wow, minority cast, am I right?
Moving on.
But yes, the whole Marvel Netflix things intrigues me. I mean, I'm interested in the shows, but I'm also kind of interested in how it all works and puts together. Because traditionally, in the sense that the four shows are connected, But what say you do, like, if Daredevil turns out to be a hit, do you do Daredevil Season 2, or do you wait until everything airs and then you do Daredevil afterwards?
That's my question, too. Are these all supposed to, like, come out at the same time? Or
no, they aren't coming out at the same time.
Okay, so they're all, like, exactly at the same time?
No, because Daredevil's out in May, and then the rest of them don't have any dates.
Oh.
I mean, they're just casting Jessica Jones, so if they start filming soon, they could probably have it out for the end of 2015. But yeah, then you have Luke Cage, and then you have the big team up. So I'm kind of curious. It's like if you do you do a Daredevil season 2 in 2015 and 2016, or do you wait until like 2017, 2018 after you do the four shows, Defenders, and then you do?
I guess my other thing is, I mean, Iron Fist, I can kind of understand. I'm not sure about the other three; they feel really obscure.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's just more personal taste than anything else.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that I think Obscura works on TV. It's Netflix. It's not like you have to build an audience or anything like that. It's especially if they turn out well. It's just like, oh, you should check out this show. I mean, that's kind of like how House of Cards and Orange Is the New Black built their audience. It's like, check this out and stuff like that. You know, like, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a problem where it's on network TV, so it has to build an audience, and it has to have a consistent audience, where these shows don't. The problem I have is more like, I guess from a production standpoint, like, these may be closer to a movie than a TV show, and I don't, because you can't have, like, people on retainer for 2-3 years hoping for a season 2 to happen, because people need to do stuff at that time, and it's going to, like, if it's done like a movie, it might get to the point where people actually get roles, and it's going to be hard for everybody to come back for season 2 if it's not done right after, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it does. For the actor's sake, and the sake of keeping the characters and people acting them the same.
Mm-hmm. They can't just Iron Man to it.
And I guess in the last bit of casting news, Justin, you are better with his various names.
Who are we talking? Oh,
Benabronk Brinklebook?
Yeah, or was it Bumblebee Cornrows?
No idea.
That one's not one of my best enough.
Brinky Bronk, Bloogle Blocks?
But yes, Smeagol, Jorok, Khan.
Wait, how do you... Wait, what was the first one?
Oh, that's the Smog.
Okay, let's say, like, what?
I confused that with the wrong word. Do not Google that.
Well, be fair, there are a lot of, like, SMs in... Wow. There are a lot of names that start with S and F. Damn it. There are a lot of, like, names that start with SMA in Lord of the Rings.
Smeagol and Smog, yeah, that's a whopping two.
Shut up, Dan. But, so yeah, he's Doctor Strange, and I have words about this casting.
Well, okay, my first words was, honestly, my first words for Finney. I didn't care who it was. I was just happy they announced it. It's been so-and-so's in the running for Doctor Strange since July of this year. Almost half of this year has been Doctor Strange casting rumors.
That is true.
So I was just happy they announced him.
Mm-hmm.
Reactions do not seem to be that great.
No. No, they're not.
My reaction was about 7 minutes ago, right before this podcast, and I said, oh, he's a finalist casted, huh? That was it.
I'm not happy about this casting.
Why?
You want me to be in, like, you want me to get in, like, professional or unprofessional?
I don't care. I'm just curious.
I mean, I guess the main thing is, I feel like there are better not non-white actors that they could go with for Mr. Stephen Strange, like Pedro Pascal from Game of Thrones. And unprofessionally, I just think that Benedict Cumberbatch is like the ugliest motherfucker. And from what I know, Doctor Strange is supposed to be like handsome. And this like completely flies in the face of all that. And honestly, I don't want him anywhere near the Marvel Universe. Because then like the stupid Super Hulock Avengers shit is now basically canon, and it feels like a Tumblr casting.
It probably is. I assume they weren't like, oh man, this is going to really set. Because, I mean, Marvel already kind of has Tom Vier in the palm of their hand. So, but it does feel like.
And I just know that there's going to be some fucking fan art or fan fiction about this shit. We're like, oh, Doctor Strange and Iron Man are like having a Roman orgy with Loki. And
there would have already been that fan fiction.
I probably assume
because he's been rumored. Like we mentioned that the Doctor Strange rumors have been on and off, but he's been rumored for the role since October.
July? Was it October?
Well, because his big thing came out right before they announced the movies that people came out and said that he might be up for the role. So I know that was when it started to gain traction. it's been a while for him as well. Like I said, I'm just kind of happy it's out there. Personally speaking, not too keen on the Doctor Strange movie, but they have 2 years to sell me on it, I guess.
I'm not going to see this movie.
Well, I'm not going to say that because, again, anything can happen in 2 years. It could, you know, it could have amazing choice. It can have great word of mouth. I can end up seeing it for free. But
I don't care. I am not going to see this movie.
That much against casting choice. I guess my dog is in agreement with you.
I was going to say
so much against it that he started barking.
I legitimately do not like that guy.
I have no beef with him. I do feel like he's one of those characters who, not characters, but one of those actors who probably gets overexposed and doesn't need to be, because I don't think he's that great. I don't think, and this is weird because I like Shark, but I don't think he's eating man material in a film. And, you know, I think that's different than being a eating man in a TV show. It's actually kind of the same fear I have with Ryan Reynolds, because Ryan Reynolds has already proven he can be
blockbuster. He's good as, like, a supporting role, almost, like, if he shares the leading man role with somebody, but, like, just by himself, nah.
And I think Deadpool will overcome it just because he seems well for the character. But, yeah, he hasn't had the best track record, and, you know, he's also been a former superhero that didn't do too well either. So,
well, luckily for Ryan Reynolds, he won't be cast just himself. It'll be himself with himself.
Yes.
I guess my question about Deadpool is, like, who are they going to use as a villain?
I think we've had this discussion when they announced the film back in the Marvel cast. The only one that comes to mind is Dormammu.
No, Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool. I assume it's going to be similar to the Suicide Squad in that he'll probably... It'd probably be like him being an actual mercenary and trying to take out like a fictional world leader or something like that. Like, not like an actual like Magneto or something like that, because I don't think Deadpool has a rogues guy. I could be wrong, but...
I mean, I don't... If he does, it's really obscure. Because I know that a lot of people hate him. Like, hate him in the comics, not as an actor. Not like people hate Deadpool.
Well, Deadpool's actually was one of my favorite comic book characters, but more so with him... I kind of got tired of him being overexposed, and I think partially because his gimmick of the whole fourth wall breaking works in limited quantity. Like, when Deadpool has, like, 6 or 7 books on the market, it's kind of old fast.
That's probably going to wear a little thin at some point in the movie.
I hope they're smart enough to not do it too often, but who knows? It is Fox.
You know... I just want to point out, you know what a really good Deadpool rendition was? Was actually the Ultimate Spider-Man episode of Deadpool. I really like that one.
Is that the one with Will Friedle?
I think so. It's been a while.
That was great.
It was an awesome rendition.
That's one of the only good episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man, but yeah, it's really good.
One of my favorite is...
I hope they do something like that. Like, it wasn't too heavy-handed.
Yeah, I think my favorite is Wolverine versus Hulk. A Hulk versus Wolverine. That's a pretty good Deadpool. What were you saying now?
None.
Okay. So we're going to skip over the other comic book casting news until the end, because that's a bit more detailed, and I really didn't want to make this too focused on comic books, so we're going to do other movies, and if we have any time, we'll throw that in at the end. We're just going to order that they were released. So, about a week ago now, I guess, the Jurassic World teaser was... I I have to say, I think people really need to understand the term teaser. I think Star Wars did a great job with the teaser. I think Jurassic World and Terminator did not.
Yeah,
Was Jurassic World supposed to be a teaser, or was it just supposed to be a trailer?
I think it's supposed. I thought it was advertised as just a Jurassic World teaser.
I thought it was just a trailer.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe you're correct. Maybe you're right.
I know J.J. Abrams in general has done very good teasers.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking back to his Star Trek one, his Super 8 one. They've all been really solid.
I think, whatever you think of the movies, I also think Superman has had a tremendous track record with teasers.
Yeah.
Superman Returns is really top-notch. It's probably one of my favorites. And
yeah, I would say that's fair, too.
And Man of Steel one's pretty solid as well. Okay, so according to Universal Pictures, they call it the official trailer, so I guess I was mistaken. But yes, I in general, I do think that people need to work on their trailers, though. Like, it shouldn't be 3 minutes that pretty much details the entire plot of your movie, which is kind of what we get here. We find out that...
I didn't really get that feeling with Jurassic Park. Or with Jurassic World.
I didn't really get that with Jurassic World. What didn't you
Jurassic get? World was basically like a trailer you would see in a movie theater, though. The only thing that was teased was they didn't actually show the dinosaur.
Right.
Yeah, and they could have done that just as well in a full trailer. Like, it felt like a trailer you'd see in a movie theater, whereas the ones in the Star Wars one, while it was in a movie theater, it felt like a one-minute clip of just, oh, what's this? What's this? What's that? What's this? Oh, my God.
Yeah, the Star Wars like, one... Yeah, because you could tell from the discussion that came out. I mean, part of it, I think, was also the quality of them. I think a lot of people were just kind of like, oh, this is Jurassic Park again. Because for some reason, they decided to try the Jurassic Park idea for a third time. Because the first two times were so successful. And now they're already trying it, but it's actually open. It's an amusement park where you can take your kids and they can drive around and check out all these dinosaurs. And because reincarnating dinosaurs aren't bad enough, they decided to make hybrid dinosaurs. Not cars, before somebody makes that joke. And,
I hadn't even thought about that joke.
Really? I saw a lot of people make that joke.
I didn't see if I made that joke. No, I mean, I haven't seen Jurassic Park, any of them, but I'm excited for this. Looks cool.
I can't say anything.
We've literally been over this like 5 times.
Yeah, I don't keep track of every movie you haven't seen. You're not that important to me.
Yeah, I know you don't. Apparently, it is.
There's too many of them. That's why.
I know. I'd have to start a novel.
Yeah, everyone hasn't seen a bunch of movies, so you know.
Yeah, everybody. But most people have seen most of them. Like, yes, I'm not expecting everybody. Not expecting
there are
everybody.
Probably people, there are probably people in the world my age who haven't seen Jurassic Park.
We'll survey people.
Oh,
your
definitely.
Age.
But it's just. It's just alarming the number of prolific movies like these that you haven't seen, that's all.
What other movies are you talking about?
Everything that you haven't seen.
Yeah, because that narrows that down.
It doesn't, because you haven't seen so many movies.
Anyhow.
Give me an example.
Okay, this isn't the time of patient. We'll have this discussion off air or another time.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can go through a bunch of episodes this year where we've kind of had some real discussions with you. This movie...
Still haven't seen Die Hard.
And you want to get bad...
I did say Die Hard.
You get angry when we bring it up and you continue pushing it.
I literally said I just lied and I had seen Die Hard.
I know, but you brought it up to get a reaction. Anyhow.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie.
Yes. Chris Pratt is in this, and I kind of feel... I don't feel bad for him, but I for people who hate fat shaming, it is weird how everybody loves Chris Pratt now that he's skinny.
People loved him when he wasn't skinny.
No, people liked Andy on Parks and Rec, but I don't think people were obsessed with him the way they are now.
I don't know. I guess it depends on who you know.
And I'm not talking about... But he has grown in popularity a lot since...
Yeah, and part of it was starring in Guardians of the Galaxy, but, you know, a lot of it is superficial, because even if you go and tell me there's a lot of gifs of him, like that scene in that scene that was pretty much all fan service in Guardians of the Galaxy, where his shirt is and sweating.
Yeah.
And drippy. Orange. Yeah.
Why was the juice why was the juice orange?
I don't.
Because it was orange juice.
I mean, like in the movie, why was it orange? I don't remember.
It just was.
Probably some alien gunk. And just as a brief show, that movie's actually out next week? It's out on digital now.
Yeah, it's out on digital now. It's going to be out on DVD the 9th, so Tuesday.
Yeah, next week. So
also, as an aside, if they try to make Benedict Cumberbatch sexy with like a shirtless scene in Doctor Strange, I'll puke my guts out.
We're going to see it, so they don't have to worry
about
it.
I have Tumblr, so they're going to probably be like about 50 GIFs of it.
What did you...
And don't say Blacklist, because people do not tag their crap.
Oh, no, nobody tags anything on that site.
Yeah, so he's like, tell me I'm wrong, motherfucker.
I, to be fair, I don't either, so I can't read.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't.
I don't post shirtless pictures of him. I don't post shirtless pictures of anybody.
Not yet.
Because you have none. Oh, cool, bear.
It's the internet. You can find them. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Well, whatever.
Anyhow, not the best trailer in the world. I mean, I don't have, like I said, I only saw Jurassic Park for the first time this year, so I don't have a really big relationship with it. And
this had Chris Pratt like riding a motorcycle while raptors were behind him, so it was the best trailer.
It seemed to be like the most generic role they could have given him.
Yeah,
he seemed
Dino
like a
hunter.
Yeah, and then he's like staring in the mirror. He's like on the grass with his hand across it, speaking all gruffy. I'm like, this is like uber generic stuff for him right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the movie has, what is it, out next summer? So it has time to kind of sell us on it. But right now, it just kind of seems like Jurassic Park again, which was a bad idea.
I actually liked the concept of it. I didn't like the trailer too much, but the concept of the park opening up and then there was something coming out, it kind of sold me that way.
Yeah, we shall see.
I don't know how they're going to do the action scenes. I don't know.
I mean, we've seen bad movies with great choices and great movies with bad choices. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yep.
And it is the first of what I would imagine.
The one thing I'm a little confused about.
Go on.
Oh, sorry. So I was just going to briefly say the one thing I'm confused about and kind of wary about when the movie actually comes out is, like, they have the two kids who are, like, they have parents and it's, like, focused on them. How are they going to, like, kind of fit into everything? Like, are they just going to be stuck or something? It seems like they're going to be kind of, like, throwaway characters almost.
Two kids?
Yeah. Like,
well,
they're going to do something stupid, get in trouble's way, Chris Pratt's going to save them, they're going to be with Chris Pratt the whole time. It just seems generic. And like,
yeah, I was about to say, it kind of feels like the first movie, because that's kind of what happened with the kids in that one as well.
That's true.
So yeah. The other big trailer, or teaser, and this was a teaser, or Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Sure.
And I thought this did a great job of what it wanted to do, which is really just kind of introduce you to this new world and kind of, you know, basically tease you, tantalize you.
I was not a fan of this trailer. Or teaser, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I am curious, and I don't mean this as an affront, but are you a Star Wars fan? I think this is kind of a fan-first trailer, because I'm kind of with you. I mean, if you're not into Star Wars...
I said this, and you're like, oh, that doesn't excuse why you don't like it.
No. I think you said because you're not nostalgic. I hate when people use nostalgia as an offense or defense.
I said I wasn't a huge Star Wars fan, so maybe that's why I didn't like it. You're like, that doesn't make sense. Neither am I. I still liked it.
Oh, no. I liked it as a concept as far as being a teaser trailer goes, because it worked in, like, trying to get your interest and intrigue as to what it is. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, so a lot of that stuff is kind of like, I'm not going to be one of those people who sits on the internet all day arguing about the fact that that lightsaber shouldn't work or whatever the hell people are arguing about with that.
That lightsaber is cool. They should shut their faces.
Yeah, but I think people are afraid of that's kind of what ruined the prequel trilogies. It's like they went with cool over practical a lot of times.
I mean, it's a laser sword, so this isn't... You can't really say it wasn't practical.
Yeah, you know, this is, I've mentioned this before, I always show up here with nerds short of eye net, like, what they accept and what they deem is, like, this is stupid.
I love, like, this, like, between this and the Stormtrooper stuff, it is really fascinating to see, like, what nerds will, how far their suspension of disbelief goes.
Yes, like, you believe that somebody creates an entire clone army, but somehow in 30 years there wasn't a person of color in that army.
In the original clone with Maori 2, that's the best part about it.
Yeah, it was... I love the defense, because I'm assuming it was... I don't know if it was... I saw one guy in particular who's like, I'm not a racist, but they're clones.
But... I'm not a racist, but... Well, apparently you're not a Star Wars fan either, because the clones went, like, mentally unstable sometime around, like, the sixth season of Clone Wars.
I think
so. It's officially canon that, you know, the clones shit the bed.
I was going to say, technically speaking, the clones... I thought all that stuff was no longer canon.
No, that's still canon.
I thought everything after... I thought everything that was...
It's the other extended universe stuff that's not canon.
Okay. I thought it was everything that wasn't the movies.
I mean, either way,
that's
it is...
That's what I thought, too.
I mean, either way, it is still, like, basically a plot point that is known.
Well, yeah, it's only specific... Yeah.
Even still, the point is, like, you could have given them the benefit of the doubt, because there is 30 years, about 30 years or so, between the end of the original trilogy and this movie. Maybe it's actually a black dude who decided to join the clones. Maybe it's somebody in disguise. Like, your first assumption shouldn't be, like, he shouldn't be black, because that's not what they are. Like, that's stupid. I forget what comedian it was, but it reminds me of that person who talks about, like, how they tried to audition for the Lord of the Rings film. And they were like, there were no people of color in The Hobbit. Like,
mm-hmm. You're it's like, oh, you can accept tree people, but you can't handle brown people.
Yeah. And it's like, the things people draw the lines at is always so funny.
It's fantastic.
But yes, I mean, I mean, going back to our original point, and the point of distinction between you and I, like, yes, some of that stuff, like, you know, not a huge Star Wars fan, so seeing the Millennium Falcon doesn't really do anything for me. It's like, oh my gosh, again. It's like, whatever, it's like, oh, it's cool, it's in here, but it doesn't do anything for me. But yes, I thought as a teaser, it worked really well, especially for a film that is more than a year out from now. So they have a lot of time
just
to...
Over it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why. As somebody who retweets the countdown, I think it's 379 days.
Yeah, it comes out December of next year, and we're in December, so.
Yeah. It's like right before Christmas next year, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like the 19th or something, somewhere around there. One of the teens.
Yeah.
One of the teens.
But, it did a great job at being a teaser. It introduced a lot of new characters, which I was actually kind of surprised by. Because I honestly thought that the first trailer would have focused on the returning characters to kind of, oh man, look, there's Han, there's Leia, there's Luke, and all that other stuff. And I think the best shot, aside from the lightsaber, was kind of the tease of the new villain, because they don't show you who the villain is. They don't give you a hint of who the new villain is. So that might not even be
the new villain. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, that's true. But it wasn't his lightsaber. It might not be a he, but... Yeah, so that's how you do a teaser, where you don't give away anything. Like, this, like, you can't watch this and say, oh, I know everything. I know the plot points, or I know the major beats of this film. You know nothing.
Yeah.
It
asks more questions than it tells.
And it's a direct sequel. So, and I always bring that up because of our next LV trailer, which is Terminator Genisys. Which, if you're paying attention at home, is spelled with a Y.
Now, you talked about... films that, like, your trailers that give the whole film away, is that felt like a trailer that gave the entire film away.
See, I felt the opposite. I didn't understand what was happening in the entire movie. I was like, oh, things are just going on.
See, I understood what was happening, and that wasn't good. Because this movie, as far as I can tell, is a reboot, a prequel,
a sequel,
an alternate, it's all of those things.
So someone said it best, where it's like they weren't sure if it was trying to be T1 or T2 or combine them.
Yeah, somebody said, and this is what I'm going to accept, somebody says it's Terminator Remix, and that's what I'm going with.
So it's just combining the best of the two?
Well, no, because it's a reboot, that tries to kind of take the best of the both while creating a new story that somehow creates an alternate timeline than the ones in the previous films, and it's really just all confusing. I mean, okay. Let's start from the beginning. One, it has Jay Courtney in it. I do not like Jay Courtney.
Can we stop trying to make him a thing? Like, him specifically, can we stop?
I don't know what God...
What is with Hollywood's obsession with this guy?
Well, I don't actually mind him.
What?
I don't actually mind him.
Have you seen any movie with him in it?
Movies I do mind. I don't mind him.
I'm just annoyed that there's so many movies with him in the... I'm sure he's like a nice person in real life, but just he's like better than Cumberbatch. I'm just like, I feel like I kind of hate him just because of like how fucking in my face he is.
And we'll get to him a bit in a second again, but yeah,
I'm so mad.
I think I hate him more because I dislike the movies he's in.
He's also been in some bad movies.
Yeah, I Frankenstein, A Good Day to Die Hard. A Divergent. Yes, part of it is I watch bad movies, but you start noticing the people who show up at RED.
Was Divergent bad?
Divergent was generic.
So, basically, yeah, it was bad.
Generic and bad aren't necessarily the same thing to me, but it didn't... I was reminded, because it came out today, or it came out this week, the Maze Runner came out this year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, The Maze Runner came out 3 months ago, about... And I've seen that movie, and I was reminded of it because I guess it came out on digital platforms. Like, oh, this was a thing that came out this year. That, to me, is kind of generic.
This is a lot about The Maze Runner that I forgot. And I know two people who freaking love the guy in The Maze Runner.
Yeah, and it's not a bad movie. It's just, like, I've seen this before, and it doesn't stick with you. And that's kind of what Divergent was. That said, it also has Khaleesi from Game of Thrones, whose name I actually never learned.
Amelia Clark.
There we go. And Arnold Schwarzenegger in the...
For some reason.
I get why. It's so weird because they want to factor in the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger himself has gotten old, but somehow they decide to do that by aging the Terminator, I don't know why you need an elderly Terminator. And I swear at the end, he has gray hair.
Yeah, he has. They even said he visibly ages with Sarah Connor.
But how? I mean, I guess they'll probably explain it like he got like some type of. I guess they didn't want to use because they do use CG in it because he kills himself, if I'm not mistaken.
That's a bummer.
Are you still in the trailer?
Because he says, "I've been waiting for you," and he starts shooting himself in the first.
Oh, movie. You mean like okay? I thought you meant like killing himself.
I meant killing the version of the Terminator based off of him. Okay. Like I said, again, being a prequel, reboot, sequel, alternate timeline, remix, doohickey. Because it's technically a sequel to the franchise in that it continues on where Terminator Salvation left off with them in the middle of the war. But it kind of jumps to the point
This is my other question about Terminator the series. So eventually they're going to have to end the war, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, technically speaking, they ended the war in the first two films because they prevented it from ever happening. And then they were like, oh, we need to make more sequels. So then they had it happen, and they went through the war, and now they're going back to make sure the war never happens.
So they're just doing the same thing that they did before.
But just why this seems like a remix. It seems like they're taking one and two again and just starting the cycle over, which is why it seems like a prequel and a reboot. Because it also takes place before the first movie. Well, some of it takes place before the first movie. Apparently, they send the Terminator back before. Well, yeah, they have a scene in here where you see Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator with a young Sarah Connors. So I assume he trains her, and then they kill the original Terminator that comes after her in Terminator 1.
Apparently, he's supposed to be her surrogate dad or some shit.
Yeah. It looks like her parents die in the trailer. Again, this scene's... piecing together stuff, but a lot of this does seem like it does add a lot of the plot for you.
It does. But I feel like I know exactly what is going to happen in this movie.
But at the same time, it seems like it doesn't. Because It seems that they have the setup, but it doesn't really show you the execution. Like, I have an idea because it's a Terminator film, but like, it seems to be like, okay, the Terminator, Sarah Connor can kick ass. Now Kyle Reese is back. What role does he serve, and what is their threat?
My favorite part about the trailer is when Kyle Reese is, like, John Connor's shaking his dad's hand, and his dad is buck-ass nude.
Well, I mean,
I don't know why, but that's really funny to me.
That's the only time he's going to see his dad, because he sent his dad to die.
That's shitty.
Well, I guess we don't know that, if that's true anymore.
How does that work?
No, don't. I love the Terminator films, or 1 and 2. The minute you try to explain the timeline is when it all goes to hell, so I don't think about it. And this is going to make it worse?
It'd be great if they didn't draw attention to it.
Well, I mean, I've said it before. It's one of the reasons I personally dislike time travel as a concept in films, because once you start thinking about it, you tend to end up with a lot of either plot holes or random time loops that don't really make sense. Because, like, Terminator doesn't happen if the events before Terminator didn't happen, and those events don't happen if Terminator doesn't happen, and it's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah. But to Dan's point, who went really quiet, this does seem to show a lot, and I was surprised that they gave away the money line in the first trailer, which is I'll Be Back.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess technically speaking, they gave away two, not necessarily a line, but the running joke. Yeah, I guess that too. I was going to say the other thing. Oh, before we get there, that bus. I don't know what they flipped that bus on for it to jump that high in the air.
I think the liquid Terminator, like, shot one of the wheels.
That bus should have flipped that high, though.
Or something. Dude, I don't know.
Like, you'd have to, like, put something underneath it to push it up.
Also, they would totally die if that happened in real life.
Yeah.
Like, they would break their necks so bad.
Yeah, but it's a movie.
even if it being a movie.
But yeah, I was going to say the other thing, the running joke with Arnold Schwarzenegger, is that he finally gets to the chopper. Like, he literally crashes into the chopper.
Yeah.
I know what that's from. I just don't think it's funny.
Oh, no, it's weird. It's one of those signs that wasn't intended to be funny in the movie. It's a serious sign.
Watch him actually get to the chopper, too.
Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised, because a lot of this stuff is just kind of running jokes at Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because even I'll Be Back isn't just from Terminator. He says that in several of his movies. Even before it kind of became the Terminator.
He said it in Expendables, too.
Well, Expendables was playing on the whole Terminator thing. But I think he says it in some of his 80s action films as well. They all kind of grow together after a while, though, so who knows.
Do they not deserve to blend together?
Well, most movie shit, I enjoy them, but yes, they do grow together. I will say this much, as I'm harping, it does not look as bad as it could have been.
Is that saying much?
I'm just saying, right now it looks better than Terminator Salvation to me, which isn't saying anything, but it could have been
the worst vote of confidence you could have ever given.
I'm not saying I have a vote of confidence in this film at all. I honestly think they should have just put the franchise to rest. I honestly don't think anybody.
Yeah, that's my other thing. Like, does anyone still care about Terminator as a franchise?
I think Terminator is like Sonic the Hedgehog, and that people still care about it because they hope that the next one's going to be good and fix the problem.
That is really a bad comparison, but also so incredibly accurate.
Jesus Christ. I'm guilty of this too. I do think there's certain things that, like, in theory, I love Terminator 1 and 2, so more Terminator shouldn't be a bad thing, but then more Terminator. And it's like, why? Like, just put it to rest. Put it out of its misery. But you hope that, okay, this is they get it now. They're going to finally fix it. They're going to finally, like, okay, I'm just going to say that is not my theory here. I'm not going in saying, okay, they're going to fix the problems of Terminator 3 and Salvation. My thing is, this is a hope, just cash grab, because it's, we're at the point where everybody wants a known quantity, want a brand that they know and can trust, and Terminator makes money. Even the bad ones made money.
They should have just stopped at two and said, hey, we got a cult classic on our hands.
Well, you see,
their hands and walk away with it.
But three had to happen for them to kind of really, because what was going to happen is, like, it would have been several years later, and they would have made a sequel that was heartless. Anyhow, so
it's like, you mean what already happened?
Yeah, but you would think at that point it would stop. Like, okay, people love the first one and two. We can't get James Cameron back, so we should stop. And it's like, no, let's continue. And let's get one of the worst directors of the 2000s to make Terminator Salvation.
Who? I don't even remember who directed.
McG?
No, who directed 3? I'm sorry.
I have no idea who directed 3. It might have been James Cameron. No, I don't think he did 3. No. I don't care. Also, if you can't get a full name, McG, I don't want you directing my films. And I don't know who's directing.
What's his actual name?
His actual name is Joseph McGinty Nicole.
Well, yeah, that cannot be a real name for a human being.
I don't know, but and I guess. It is what it is. And I think that's it for the major trailers. So, for major casting news, other than what we've talked about before, we also had the announcement of the Bond 24 cast and title.
Woo! That was really exciting. I liked that a lot.
I was excited for the announcement, but it was pretty, since everything that they announced leaked out ahead of time, like weeks beforehand, it was kind of like, yay, you confirmed what I already know. It's like watching Sony's E3 press conferences.
I didn't even see the leak.
Yeah, I didn't see many of them either until just yesterday, so I was kind of like, it only gave me yesterday to mull it over, basically.
Okay, I knew about Christoph Waltz a few weeks ago.
I think he was already attached, like, way.
Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, he wasn't, like, this was the official announcement of everybody.
Oh.
Batista, same thing. I kind of knew about him a few weeks ago. And then Andrew Scott was kind of mentioned, I think that leaked like Monday or Tuesday. Monica Bellucci leaked. I think Monica Bellucci.
Did you know that she's 50?
Yeah, because that's the headline a lot of people are running with, which is kind of sad. I think she's like the oldest Bond girl ever or something.
I don't care about that. She just didn't look 50.
Older than M?
Well, yeah, I was gonna. I don't think. I mean, some people consider her the Bond girl of Skyfall. Some people don't.
Yeah, I know. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. What I find funny though is people bring up her. Daniel Craig is 46. It makes more sense for him to be dating her than the 20-something-year-old. That's the other Bond girl in this film. But
I mean,
yes.
Either way, one of them's gonna die, right?
Both of them. It's Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig. I mentioned on Twitter, Daniel Craig has had 6 Bond girls. 4 of them are dead. The 4 that he suffered are dead, and the 2 that he didn't are still alive somewhere.
Wait. There's the one in Quantum of Solace. She was covered in oil, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing. There's Eva Green's character in Casino Royale. There is the one that he shot in the face in Skyfall.
That didn't happen, but okay.
Yeah, he shot her.
He shot her in the face. No, he didn't kill her. The other dude killed her, didn't he?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the other dude killed him.
No, I thought, like, he...
He chose not to shoot, and then Sylvia killed her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sylva. Fuck, who's the fourth one?
The fourth
Money
one.
Penny.
No, he didn't sleep with Moneypenny.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't sleep with what's her name from? Oh no, he did. That's
yeah. He slept with the other three.
Yeah,
no, I was gonna say he didn't sleep with what's her name?
Yeah. And she's alive.
The one? Wait, are you talking about the one covered in oil?
No, the other one.
No,
the
other one.
Oh, the one with the PTSD.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, we sound like really horrible people right now.
And
it,
you do.
And she's alive. The other one's probably more obscure, but it's the first girl he sees within Casino Royale, the one at the hotel, who her boyfriend goes to Miami.
Oh, that is.
I thought money
really
was considered, because wasn't it implied that they slept together, not
no.
on screen?
That's, no, dude, she's
no,
like 60.
No, it's honest, no. Not
what?
M. Moneypenny.
Wait, oh.
No, it's Naomi Harris' character.
In the
okay.
scene where she's shaving him,
yep.
isn't it kind of implied that something
no,
happened?
I made an oopsie.
They banged. I actually figured it was the opposite, because they talk about that's the nature of our relationship, a close shave or something like that. And it just seems to be implying that they didn't sleep together. I feel like they did. I don't think they did. I think Ladario gives that away, and I also think because Bond never sleeps with Moneypenny, that destroys the entire dynamic of the relationship.
That's true, too.
But yes. Just to kind of run down, okay, one, this film is called Spectre, which I am
just
kind
exciting.
Of...
Mean 007 Mass Effect?
Yes.
No one's made that joke before.
Yes, I was about to say, that joke was made. Your joke about it being like a Hydra logo mixed with Spider-Man. Spectre is
it,
the original.
It is. It does look like that.
Yes, but Spectre's
no.
the original.
Yeah, Spectre's the original.
I don't care that it's the original. It just looks like that.
I'm just saying, and that means Hydra's logo is based off of them. Hydra, Cobra,
yeah.
all those organizations are just second-rate Spectre.
Spectre's been around way longer, and it's really exciting to see Spectre come back in this James Bond movie.
So what exactly does Spectre do?
Okay, well, once, I was going to say, I hope they update the name, because the name's really a stretch. It stands for Special
Isn't it like
Executive,
Special Executive?
For Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion.
Revenge. Why is Revenge in there?
Here's the thing I have about the name, is that they have Special, they use the SP from that. They use the E from Executive.
Why don't they just use like special tactical?
That wouldn't make sense.
I think I just recited the thing from Mass Effect.
They use the C from Council, but they don't use the I from Intelligence. It's like we'll just pick and choose everything to kind of make this work.
Some anagrams are like that.
Some anagrams. It's kind of forced. But to your point, it's exciting if you're an old school Bond fan. It's not so exciting if you have it. If you aren't really a fan of the Sean Connery era, because Spectre hasn't really been a presence in the film since the 60s.
That is fair. But it will be exciting because it means that there's a potential to kind of bring in a lot of that. And I don't know. Maybe
what
see
is,
some stuff that hasn't been done for a long time.
What is that?
What is Spectre?
Just like...
What is Spectre? What do they do?
Spectre is an evil... It's an evil organization that isn't necessarily... world domination. They're more kind of like behind the scene power brokers, and they try to. It's basically what Quantum was trying to be, which I'm kind of disappointed in because I do think they're going to drop Quantum now, or I don't know what's going to happen with Quantum.
People still remember Quantum? Better yet, do people still care about Quantum?
I don't think people care about Quantum, but it would have been a nice plot point to pick up, even though Quantum was a stand in for Spectre since they didn't have the license for it. But it's basically an organization that its primary purpose in the John Connery era was kind of to give him an ongoing nemesis. And it was kind of it's an organization which is led by Ernst Stavro Brofeld, who may or may not be Christopher Waltz in this film.
I was trying to figure out who would be the best potential to be him, honestly.
Who else is in the film? I know there's him. There's Monica Bellucci and there's Dave Bautista. Wasn't there one other guy?
There's several other people, but I think Andrew Scott who is Moriarty on Sherlock.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that actually. He sounds like a good role.
Yeah, from what I understand, from what I piece together, he's the main bad guy.
Yeah,
and Waltz is just like a cover.
Well, no,
or
I think
henchman,
Waltz
probably something.
Waltz seems to be like a character from Bond's past, which I guess is where the name Spectre comes from, because that's like a ghost of the past. But he's secretly going to be Ernst Stavro Brofeld. It's going to be one of those con stuff from Star Trek where it's like, oh, no, he's a different character. Or Miranda Tate from Batman, The Dark Knight Rises. Oh, it's a different character completely, even though everybody who knows anything knows who he is. So I'm assuming that's going to be a big reveal. And then Dave Bautista is going. Well, Dave Bautista is the henchman with the name Mr. Hinks.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a sad name.
It's a henchman name and it's a henchman casting, honestly.
Which is really sad. It's sad for Dave Bautista because I think he deserves better.
He can do Drax.
I think
it's not like he's only going to exile to henchman roles. He did Drax, which was a major role.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I feel like he can do more than just be like the mindless muscle dude.
I could be wrong. Maybe it's because I know him from professional wrestling. I think this works for him because I do think if you give him any bigger or media roles, it might kind of. He's not a great actor.
No, I'm not saying like. You do The Rock, where like he can like carry his own film or carry the film with others, but just something else.
Gotta get established first.
Yeah, I think that's honestly speaking, I would be happy to be in Dave Bautista's position right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, I assume he's making bank off of that. Getting cast in a James Bond film, you're gonna be like he's starting much higher than a lot of actors ever have.
Oh God.
He's American, right? Because being American and in a James Bond movie sounds pretty exciting, too.
I'm pretty sure he is American.
Yeah, I think... they have no problems. He's Filipino-American. He was born in Washington, D.C.
But, he has an American accent and all that. So he comes from the lifestyle. Like, going into a Bond movie, being an American like that is pretty exciting, I would think.
Yeah, they don't mind if the villains that you can usually be American, because I know Christopher Walken was one. He's American, I think.
Like Christopher Walken was a Bond villain?
Yeah. One of the last ones before Pierce Brosnan.
Trust me, it's not as exciting as it should have been.
I'm not excited. I'm just really perplexed.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
That's part of why I'm perplexed, because I can't imagine him being a villain in a freaking James Bond movie of all things.
Yeah, he would have been an awesome villain in the James Bond film. He's over the top and hammy. I mean, he would have been. I was gonna say he would have been perfect for Roger Moore, but he was a Roger Moore villain. And they ruined it. Sadly enough, they also wasted William Dafoe. William Dafoe's turn got turned into a video game, which is an awesome video game. But I would have liked.
How is William Dafoe not in an actual James Bond movie?
Because they don't want to repeat it. Because I guess he's in the game.
Oh, this is such bullcrap. Defoe is like the perfect amount of crazy for that joke.
And he was great in the game. It's just kind of disappointing. But yes,
why have you failed?
I would also like to say I thought that the whole reveal of the car was also amazing because the car got its own reveal.
I haven't even seen the car.
Most people treated the car as its own casting role, which is really funny.
It would be like Daniel Craig in Spectre. Also starring the Aston Martin.
No, it would be Daniel Craig in an Aston Martin in Spectre.
No. You'd have to say it correctly. It's Ian Fleming's James Bond. I think how his title is. It's like Ian Fleming's James Bond is like Daniel Craig or something like that.
Daniel Craig is Ian Fleming's James Bond.
Yes.
In an Aston Martin in Spectre 007.
In space.
In theaters this summer.
in a game console near you.
It's actually it's actually kind of funny when you think about it, because we just had the first teaser trailer for Star Wars, which is out after this movie, and this movie hasn't started filming yet.
Yeah. I was a little perplexed by that too. Star Wars just finished filming, and then James Bond just starts tomorrow.
Yeah,
it really starts tomorrow.
Yeah, they say it's about 7 months. And I brought this up, and people pointed out this is the same time frame that a lot of Bond films have had. And I think part of it is because they don't tend to be heavy on special effects, especially the Daniel Craig era.
Yeah.
So it's there's not a ton of post production work that's needed. It would help, but who knows?
Why is it coming out in 2016?
It's coming out in 2015.
Okay, I don't know why I thought it was coming out in 2016.
No, that's what I meant. Like, Star Wars is out in December. This film's out in November, and it hasn't started filming yet. So I'm ecstatic for this film. I'd love to see Spectre back. I think I felt that was a problem. Like they tried that with the Roger Moore era, where he had the KGB. He had that one recurring kind of Russian agent. in the later films, and they haven't really tried. I guess they tried it with Quantum, and that kind of got teetered off after Quantum of Solace was mixed. And it seems like, I mean, Skyfall seemed to have been the reboot of the reboot, the soft reboot, where they kind of went back to the norm. So it's nice to kind of see them going back to the beginning, I guess.
Skyfall also rebooted a lot of the cast. Like, they got a new M, they got a new Moneypenny, they got a new all
this
stuff.
Yeah, that's what I meant by it, because, you know, before then, there wasn't a Moneypenny. They had the female.
I was going to say, it's like, did they have a Moneypenny or a Q before, like in the Daniel Craig movies before?
No, that was all their introduction in Skyfall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, we forgot the most important question. Who's going to sing the opening song?
Well, that won't be announced until further. Like, that will probably be announced next.
Okay, better question. Who do you want to sing the opening song?
I don't know who I want, but I think it'll be whoever's most popular, closest to March or Mayish.
So I think
Iggy,
it might
so
be
Azalea, whatever the hell her name is.
No, because she does R&B, hip hop, and stuff. It'll be someone who has like a classy voice who can do old school stuff.
Yeah, so Iggy Azalea.
No,
I'm kidding.
But no, I think it, I mean, right now, I think the Forerunner would be Adele again. I think Skyfall did really
People
well.
Actually, that one actually was really good. I like
it. Yeah, she's got a great voice for it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's precedents of people doing, like, they haven't done it recently, but Shirley Bassey did, like, 3 Bond-themed songs, so.
Oh, wait, what if it's, actually, if Lords is still, a big enough thing, they might do her.
I think Lord was rumored a while back. I think that was the rumor for their theme song.
I would be cool with that one.
But yeah, I mean, if anything, you'll probably start hearing rumors about it in, like, March, April, like Dan said. And then they'll confirm it in August, September, when the single drops. And in the final bit of casting and movie news, The Suicide Squad.
Which was very exciting, actually.
This is weird. Not
I
so,
like it.
Not so That's much, like, the casting, just the idea of the movie in general.
That's
How
true.
So?
Just... I don't know. I just feel like a Suicide Squad movie is, like, aimed toward a very specific audience.
I think, which I know,
like, can be applied to, like, most comic book movies and comic book things, but this one more so, because I feel like it's like Sinister Six, where it's like, who are you supposed to root for in a team full of villains?
But I think it's different, and I think it's different than Sinister Six, and I think we've had this discussion before. I think the major difference is that Sinister Six is designed around the concept of forming to take out a hero, namely Spider-Man. Where Secret Six, I think what DC Warner wants to do, and I think if they aim for it, it's exciting to me because it's different. But I think they want to aim for Ocean's 11. They don't want this to be they want this to be a heist film. Not necessarily like good guys versus bad guys. Because the Ocean's 11 movies, the good guys aren't necessarily good guys. They're just better than the bad guys.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably going to be the tagline, too. It's like, not all heroes are good or something like that.
Yeah. I think that the director tweeted out something like that. Can bad people do good things or something like that?
Which, that's such a cheesy tagline.
I don't think it's a tag. Well, it could be.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if it is a tagline, it's cheesy as fuck.
But yes, he tweeted out when they have announced, can bad people do good things, Suicide Squad. So, yeah, I do think that I'm interested in it. Well, one, I love the Suicide Squad. But I'm interested in it because I've said this before, I really, really, really want more diversity in comic book films. And not just, like, diversity in the cast, but just diversity in the genres. Because right now we tend to have... Like, our comic book films tend to be the heroes versus the villains, the good guys versus the bad guys, and that's kind of... You get the action movie. And I'm sure this will be an action movie, but I think it's going to be... Like, they've compared it to, what is it? The Dirty Dozen. They compared it to Ocean's 11. And it's more of a heist film. It's more of a thriller than it's going to be a pure, like, action film. That said, this casting has 2 notes to it. One, it introduces the cast, but two, it also introduces the cast of characters who's going to be in this, because unlike like Guardians of the Galaxy, there's not one team. There's various members of the team, so we get to know the team as well. And I guess to kind of run it down, we have Jared Leto as the Joker, who I think...
People were really against this choice. Because people on my feed were against his choice for various things that he's done in the past, like him as a person. Who, like, I'm really curious as to who they would have preferred
I've seen
him. And they can't say literally everyone because that's what everyone says.
Heath Ledger.
I've heard some people say this based off of Nightcrawler, which I haven't seen, but Jake Gyllenhaal.
I would totally go for that. He's great in that.
I haven't seen that yet, so I don't know, but I've seen that one pop up a lot. And I do think that the Joker is a really tough role to fill, not just because he's probably one of fiction's greatest villains or most iconic, but I think so far everybody who's played him on big screen has done such a tremendous job that there's just a lot of pressure to kind of fill in, and like the end joke. Heath Ledger has huge shoes to fill.
I wonder what...
Yeah. Well, also, they've all done the Joker differently. If you look at Mark Hamill's Joker is more cartoony, ham-fisted.
Heath Ledger's Joker is more psychotic.
More gritty, too. Mm-hmm. And then...
Because this is supposed to... Jesus Christ, that's loud. This is supposed to, like, be a follow-up to Man of Steel, right? Or exist in the same universe?
Yeah.
So it's like, that was kind of gritty enough already, so how do you, like, keep it in that universe without also... like making it feel like it doesn't belong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it'll
be hard to see if he tries to make his own Joker or not. I don't know.
That's I guess it also depends on like how much he's in the film.
Yeah, I thought to say I don't, because they announced the cast. They didn't necessarily say that he's going to be part of the Suicide Squad. Right. I could see them doing.
I don't imagine him being part of the Suicide Squad. I imagine that he's going to like play a role in their development.
Yeah, I could imagine, I don't know if you've seen Assault on Arkham, but I can imagine him playing a similar role that he did in there, where he's more of a wild card, no pun intended, than a team member. It's like they have to break into some point, and maybe it's either to break him out, or he's there, and he's just going to cause havoc. Because, in addition to the Joker, we have Margaret Robbie as Harley Quinn, who...
She was the wife in Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yes.
Okay.
One, extremely hot.
She is very hot, yeah.
Two, I am super excited for Harley Quinn to be in a movie.
I have no idea how that's going to go.
What?
Just Harley Quinn in general, because I feel like sometimes she's good in small doses.
I think... They've done a much better job, even though people hate her costume, which I completely get. I think they've done a much better job of fleshing her. I think she's always been a really fleshed out character. I think
didn't
she's done well.
Didn't they change her costume again?
She has multiple costumes. She has a ton of costumes now.
I think more recently they changed it.
No, I mean, she had a variation of the Power Girl costume as well.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, because she teamed up with Power Girl for like two issues.
And aren't her and Poison, well, whatever, this is a comic thing, it's like, aren't her and Poison Ivy dating or something?
No, her and Poison Ivy are really special friends with benefits of time.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I think, I guess kind of to roll down the line, in the comics and in Assault on Arkham, she kind of has a thing with Deadshot.
That's going to be in the film.
Who's Will Smith.
Of all the casting choices, this is the weirdest one.
I think it's the most interesting one. I think it's the one that makes the most sense on paper.
Just weird in the sense that I never would have imagined Will Smith in like an actual comic book superhero movie.
Well, he did Hancock.
Yeah, but that wasn't based on anything, was it?
I know, but I mean, no, but it was. But I everybody says it's a weird choice, but to me, for better or worse, all I'm seeing in the back of my head is Agent Mike Gowry from Bad Boys. Or his character for Independence Day. It's that wisecracking smartass who's super arrogant, and that's the character he's going to play in this movie film.
It's going to be so weird seeing him with that, eye zoom thing.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job with Deadshot and Arrow, honestly. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I can't see Will Smith doing something like that, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the heart of the team. I think he's going to be the one who's kind of... Because, I mean, even, I think they, I don't know if this is a new thing, but even kind of in Assault on Arkham, he's kind of doing it for his daughter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I also imagine that he won't be wearing a mask too often because you don't get Will Smith to hide his face. Tom Hardy's Rick Flagg.
I don't know who Rick Flagg is.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know. Rick Flagg
he's like their leader or something.
Yeah, he's like a straight ace. He's just like a military dude who's like their unofficial leader. I mean, their actual on-field leader tends to be Deadshot. But I mean, technically, their actual leader is Amanda Waller.
we should talk about Amanda Waller later.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Jay Courtney as Boomerang.
Again, stop trying to make Jay Courtney a thing. Moving on.
Yes, and this was an odd one, both in cast and in character. But Carol Delvinge? I don't know how you pronounce that.
Delvinge. Yeah.
As Entrentress. I did not know DC had an Entrentress.
Neither did I. This was completely new to me when I saw it. I'm just like, wait, what? But no, I guess Marvel doesn't have rights because technically their Enchantress is Amora the Enchantress.
Yeah, I assume it's Enchantress because it's a title, but it's...
Right, but I mean, that's basically like how they get around it because they always like refer to Marvel's Enchantress by her name first.
Oh, or... Yeah, but I was like, okay, of all the... I mean, the only thing I can think of, which I wouldn't do because I think it's stupid, is like they are called the Suicide Squad for a reason, and somebody has to die. So that could be her.
She's probably gonna die.
But at the same time, I'm also
I feel like if anybody in this movie, either her or Boomerang are gonna die first.
Yeah, I also feel like this might be the core, and they might announce one or two other people on the team who just exist to die.
Yeah, because, I mean, doesn't every Suicide Squad have, like, one or two people who basically exist just to, like, amp the stakes, be like, oh my god, they aren't playing?
Well, they tend to have at least two expendable characters. One, to prove that Amanda Waller isn't joking when she says she has a bomb in her neck, and somebody always has to try to prove it, and they get their head blown up. That happened in Arrow with,
Shrapnel.
Yeah.
But I don't know why you, like... What person would joke around and be like, "Oh yeah, I've got a bomb in the back of your head."
I mean, I assume like a lot of these people are probably put away by Batman and stuff like that, and he does. So they're probably like, "Oh, whatever, she's not going to do it," and then she proves it.
Well,
and
so
then
I mean, it's like most of them have like heard of her in some capacity, so I would think they'll be like, "Yeah, I'm not going to fuck with this lady."
Yeah, and then the other one, it's probably someone who usually dies during the mission to show that everything's going to hell. So yes, and kind of speaking of the wall, the rumor right now is that the front runner to be Amanda Waller.
I am so happy about this.
Is Oprah Winfrey?
This is fantastic. So
I will
be
honest
with you. Did you see what I put on Twitter when that came out? Basically, my thing was like, just imagine Oprah at Comic-Con just like giving away all of her shit. They're like, you get my dress. You get a copy of my script.
Oprah Winfrey
and Comic-Con, that would be fantastic.
Okay, I will say this much. Good, bad, awful, whatever. If Oprah Winfrey is in this film, I will see it 3 times in theaters.
If you went back in time and told me like, oh hey, one of the most famous people in the world is gonna be like in a Conker movie, I would have laughed in your fucking face, but I gotta see this.
I know,
and you know that they're gonna hype it up to be like, and Oprah Winfrey as Amanda Waller.
Yeah, I mean, I assume she probably won't go for it, but if she does, I mean, just
that's
like,
fantastic. If she does, this is gonna be the greatest movie of all time.
It's like one of the biggest people in the world in a comic book film. Like, if you told me this, even if you told me this a year ago, I would have laughed in your face.
I know, this is so great.
I mean, Gwen,
there is this comic that's posted on Twitter where it's like her standing in front of like the different members of the Suicide Squad. It's like, you get an assassination, everybody gets an assassination.
and to be fair, if she doesn't get it, the other actresses they have lined up are really good as well. Viola Davis,
yes.
And Octavia Spencer.
I feel like if it's Viola Davis, then How to Get Away with Murder is basically just like practice at that point.
Yes. That said, like, I mean, I'm sure they'll do great, but the fact of the matter is we could have had Oprah, and
Dude, that's
always going to be in the back of my head.
I know. If she doesn't get it, I completely understand if she doesn't, like, go for it, but at the same time, it's like, Oprah Winfrey! Like, where do you go from there?
I think you should stop comic book movies at that point. Like, you can't get any better.
Like, just stop everything.
I don't care who you have Oprah in a film, that's it. She's not only that, but she's the person putting bombs in people's necks. And it's Oprah. It would be fantastic. But yes, I mean, kind of running through. It's a hodgepodge of teams. I mean, I think Deadshot's the only one that's kind of a consistent force throughout. Harley Quinn's more of a New 52 edition. Boomerang comes and go. I have no idea who Entrenchus was before this, so I don't know. But yeah, it has a really good director. He just did Fury, which came out to a pretty great review.
Yeah, I hear Fury was pretty good. Then he did End of Watch too.
Yeah.
Right? I really like End of Watch.
And the best thing just came out this week is that the person who did the Legend of Chun-Li is no longer writing this film. So
I didn't know he was writing it.
Yeah, he was originally attached to it, but now David, the director, is also writing it or doing it. Yeah.
So is he writing, directing?
Yeah, and he seems to do a much better job when he writes, directs, and when he pre-directs. Because I think he's done, I think End of Watch was him writing, directing as well. And I think Training Day was him?
Was Fury writing, directing, or is he just directing?
Writing and directing for that as well.
Okay.
This is kind of his wheelhouse. He's also written SWAT. He tends to do a lot of gritty, ground level cop dramas. SWAT, Harsh Times, End of Watch, Sabotage, Training Day. He wrote the original Fast and the Furious film, apparently.
What?
Awesome.
Like, oh my god, that movie is fantastic.
I like this guy already.
This is the greatest movie of all... Fast... Well, okay, not the greatest movie of all time, but Fast 1 is a really good movie.
But yes, I mean, I think that's it for us this week. I guess you folks have any movie news we might have missed or TV news.
I'm still just trying to wrap my head around Oprah Winfrey being considered for Amanda Waller.
Like, yeah, if that happens, one, I want to see the internet's reaction to it.
Yeah, the internet's just gonna shit a brick.
I think people have kind of come around to it. But I think people.
I think people are gonna be insulted if it actually doesn't happen, just based on like fan demand.
Oh, okay. And just kind of one other thing, which we didn't mention, which I'm happy for. But I also find it silly. Again, kind of talking about with Nerd Short and I find it silly that people are like, "Oh, I can't believe they cast Tom Hardy again." People are gonna be confused.
What? No, people are stupid.
Yeah, I don't, because we accepted Chris Evans as the Human Torch and Captain America.
That's the weird thing. It's like you said, like, how nerds, like, are stupider than they think they are.
Well, they think people are stupider than they are.
I mean, nerds are also stupider than they think they are. But, like, people know that actors take different roles. That's not exactly new. Like, there was that bit of news where the WB, or, like, the people who worked on the Lego movie had to go to Christopher Nolan. And someone's like, "Hey, this is a separate universe. We want to use your Batman." It's like, yeah, no shit. No one was expecting the Christopher Nolan Batman to be in a freaking Lego movie.
I mean, speak for yourself.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, people aren't stupid.
Well, except they are. So.
Yeah, but still, like, give them some credit here.
Yeah. I mean, okay. The average, like, some people might be stupid, but I always think it's weird to kind of subscribe that to everybody and just assume that people are like, "Oh man, it's Tom Hardy. He was Bane," which also was kind of redundant because Bane wears a mask and has his voice modulated the entire time.
Yeah. So honestly,
yeah, it's hard to distinguish as Tom Hardy entirely.
Honestly, you could have told me that like Bane was anybody else in any other dark-haired white guy in Dark Knight Rises, I would have believed you. You could have said he was Jack. Hell, you could have said he was Sam Worthington for all that matter.
Yeah.
You guys remember him?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier about that because you mentioned Jay Courtney the same way. It's like Sam Worthington was the guy that Hollywood tried to push. There was Justin Long. There was
and how did that go?
He was also in a Terminator film that did well for his career.
And then what was the last? I think the last thing he was in was like Man on a Ledge, and then he just like literally disappeared off the face of the earth.
I mean, kind of. I mean, he's still around, but Jude Law was another one that they tried to push for a while.
I don't remember them pushing Jude Law or Justin Long.
Jude Law was in a bunch of films, and like, and then he just kind of became supporting roles.
What was the last Jude Law movie?
He was in something recently, wasn't he? Oh, I guess. The last movie he was in was the Grand Budapest Hotel. No, Bexy.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Okay, so, for Justin, Dan, and myself, this has been On the Rocks, episode 196.
You get a podcast. You get a podcast. Everyone gets a podcast.